You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com. Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave. And you know, longtime listeners of this podcast, Dave, will know that what I typically do when we record a podcast is I put on the recording of the game that was just played. So as we are recording, I can kind of catch up on the game a little bit and refresh my memory, and that way I don't have to listen to what you have to say. I can watch the game.
Yes, very smart.
Yeah, but this time I was going to do that. But I was informed that watching the video of that game would violate the obscenity laws in Portage County, Wisconsin. That game was obscene in the maximum. I mean, that was a horrible viewing experience. Wait at 9:30 on a Friday night, right?
Yeah.
This was going to be the big climax of the week. You're going to go into the weekend. You know, nobody played, and the guys that did play didn't play. It was a flaccid performance by both teams, but especially by the Packers.
I agree. We didn't talk about the theme of this podcast when we just hit record and after we picked up the phone, but I am the same place as you are, as how angry I am about preseason. I thought maybe it's just I'm getting older, but it was an offensive thing to watch. There was part of me that was a little excited because it was a 9:30 start and I had some stuff to do, and I thought, well, I can watch it. And get my stuff done and come home and relax, and I watch at 9:30. When the first quarter ended at 11 o'clock, I think it was, I looked around and saw no one around me and thought, who's making me do this? Why am I doing this? It was terrible. And clearly the Packers don't care. I mean, why even televise this? These should just be practices if they're not going to play. They didn't play their whole offensive line.
Right.
I mean, I get not playing Rodgers and guys you don't want to get hurt, but and I don't really want to see guys play and get hurt at the same time. I'm angry with myself for watching this trash. So it was really awful. I mean, even the field was a joke. It's a baseball field.
So. How long has it been since you've seen a game played on a baseball field? I mean, it used to happen all the time in the 70s and the 80s. You would see that because there was all these multi-purpose stadiums.
Right.
And even when the Packers played at County Stadium, if they were playing early in the football season, late in the baseball season, they would still have the infield down. So that was really retro and throwback. The other thing that was retro and throwback was a key Packers player getting hurt in pregame warmups.
No, right.
And that's classic.
I still have an explanation of why that happened. They said he was in warmups, and all of a sudden he said, my shoulder hurts. And then I hear that it was thrown out of the socket.
Exactly,
He plays pro football. How is he going to last more than...
Because he's a member of the Packers, Dave. He is a key draft choice. He's a guy they're counting on. Of course he's going to be hurt in a freak way. I don't recall him having, you better be careful drafting him because he has a history of shoulder problems. Now, maybe I missed that. Maybe he's already, had this kind of thing. But all of a sudden, it's calling into question whether Burks is going to be ready for the opening game. So the Packers went out today and got a linebacker. I think he's an outside linebacker, but still, nonetheless, Lindsey Pipkins is gone. Traded to the Colts for Antonio Morrison. And I think you mentioned that is the famous author, right? Toni Morrison. The Packers have – no, I'm sorry. This is a male. This is Antonio Morrison, who has a rap sheet longer than Jim Morrison. he punched a bouncer at one point, was barking at a police dog.
But his shoulder stayed in place. He's good enough for me.
I guess as long as his shoulders are intact, unlike Kevin King or Oren Burks, I guess he's going to be an improvement. 23 years old, that's the good news. But you have to wonder why the Colts would let go of a guy It was a fourth-round pick, 97 tackles in his NFL career, young guy, despite kind of his checkered police blotter, for a cornerback who was undrafted and played a little for the Packers last year, but I never thought, I didn't think Lindsey Pipkins was going to make the team, but for some reason the Colts were happy to get him and let go of Morrison. It just makes me wonder why they were so willing to let go of a guy, you know, who was like, seems like a legitimate player. Why would you let go of that guy for Lindsey Pipkins?
Well, I could see if I'm a GM of another team and I want to look and see what teams are really stacked at a position, it may be that the Packers are stacked at the cornerback position right now.
True.
They have
yeah.
a number of first-round picks. They picked up, you know, House and Williams. Maybe you kind of look at the back end of that group and say, hey, is there anyone there we like on film? So, and, you know, there have been times that Pipkins have played well. I mean, well is a relative term to other cornerbacks that we've had. But I guess I'm not too surprised. And certainly if this guy is a bit of a locker room problem, I could see where you want to get rid of him. And it brings me back to, have you watched Hard Knocks yet, Chris?
Not this year.
Okay, but you know
I've watched the pack yet. Yeah,
okay. I mean, having a problem in the locker room, that's sort of a concept that's just sort of ethereal for me. I get it. If I work with someone who's a bad person, that's no fun. But when I see Hard Knocks and see what kind of bad, I mean, these are really young kids, really immature. You can see the locker room dynamics. We're in the film room and they're not paying attention or they're just not giving you much response. Like, I could see where, if as a coach, you want to just get rid of those guys. So maybe this is a guy that's like that.
Well, I think it probably is, and it calls into question, you know, what kind of move it is for the Packers. But nonetheless, they've made the move. Seems like the guy can play in the NFL. They're thin at linebacker. So you have Antonio Morrison coming to Green Bay, and you won't have Lindsey Pipkins to kick around anymore.
Well, you know what? They're probably going to switch Matthews to the inside linebacker. Don't you think that's coming?
You know, I think maybe that's – I mean, because Morrison, I think, is playing outside, and they're so thin inside that they're probably going to have to do something like that. I don't know how serious the dislocated shoulder is for Burks, but, you know, if he's going to miss a couple weeks of the season, they're going to have to do something because they've already lost Jake Ryan. I mean, he's gone for the season. So if you don't have Burks, boy, I mean, you're starting to get down to what? Blake Martinez there. And I guess Greer Martini is the guy who started the game. And while he has a great name, mm-hmm. I mean, what will you have? I'll have a Greer Martini, of course.
Right, shake it,
not stirred. Yeah, it seemed as though, I mean, he had some pretty good wheels. I don't know if you noticed him running around out there, but he had pretty good, you know, speed sideline to sideline. But, you know, he's not exactly a premier sort of guy, and you'd hate to think that you're going to be relying on him for a big part of your season. So maybe that's what's coming. I mean, if you have Matthews in the middle, then maybe you can put your new acquisition on the outside. We haven't seen Nick Perry yet. We're probably not going to see him. I don't know about you, Dave, but Kyler Fackrell, he played a little better, I thought, in this last game, but, you know, I just don't have a lot of confidence in him. As much as I like Beagle, you know, who's from right down the road here in Wisconsin Rapids and a Badger star, I don't think Vince Beagle's going to make the team. I think he might wind up getting cut, and I think he still has time for practice squad availability, I think. But he does not – physically, he doesn't even look the part. I know he had five tackles in the game, but, you know, he just doesn't seem like he's a difference maker out there especially. So, yeah, they've got, I think, plenty of depth in the defensive backfield. I think their defensive line is very good, probably the best we've had in years.
Yeah.
But the linebackers, you know, where you're counting on guys to make plays, there's not much there.
But that's what the NFL is these days, right? You can't be good everywhere. But you can see where they're not good is where their drafts have really fallen down on them. Like Kyler Fackrell, if he's a good player, he's a relatively high draft pick, he should be adequate to be making the team, and he's not. The offensive line, their backups, those were misses, and now they're weak there. I do like the team, though. They've really shored up places that I think they want to be good. They obviously are great at quarterback. They went out and they have a really interesting group of wide receivers. The defensive line and cornerbacks, I think, are really interesting. But you just can't fill every hole, because unless you're just hitting every draft out of the park, it's really, really hard to build a team. So I think what do we have? It's backup offensive line, linebackers right now. Running backs is still unproven, but we could probably talk about that more. But that's kind of where the NFL is, right? You can't just be good in every position anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly the way the league, you know, has gone. With the rules they have, even the best teams are going to have gaps. I mean, that's just the way it is. And the Packers' starting offensive line, which has not played together, not just in the games, they haven't played together in practice. They have not had their five preferred starters on the practice field even at the same time. So that's a question. The tackles that played, they've got some significant issues behind your starters, behind Bakhtiari, behind Bulaga. Yeah, they just really don't.
No.
They don't have much, and you worry because, you know, the way the pass rush came on in the game in Oakland. Now, if Rodgers is playing quarterback, he makes things happen, but he's going to be exposed to so much danger. I fear seeing Jason Spriggs out there and Kyle Murphy. These guys are not good, and you get further behind them. I mean, Byron Bell, they moved him to guard. He didn't look that much better there.
Oh.
He's not going to be one of these veteran guys that you kind of plug in and he's going to be there. I don't think he's that kind of player. So they have got real issues after you get by the five star. The five starters are fine. But, you know, guys are always getting hurt, especially with the history of injury that Bulaga has. So I'm nervous about that. At least we're not talking about the starters being dicey.
That's true.
But it's the backup guys, and I don't know how they're going to compensate. There's no way you're going to be able to go out at this point and get a tackle someplace. I mean, those are valuable commodities, and teams are holding on to them. Jason Spriggs, you know, that just didn't work out, and then he got hurt, and I don't think he was that good to begin with, but any chance of him being good went out when he got injured last year.
Yeah, you got Kyle Murphy, you have Jason Spriggs, you've got Cole Madison, who disappeared into the air. What happened to Cole Madison?
Nobody's sure there are some people who know what's going on, but they haven't announced what is the nature of his personal problem, and so you begin to wonder, a psychological problem, an addiction problem, maybe a family member is ill, maybe he's, you know, has some kind of illness as well. But whatever it is, it doesn't sound like he's going to be available to him this year. Even if he, you know, somehow joined the team, he's not going to be ready to play.
You don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, no. So they've got, you know, I mean, the guys they have are the guys they're going to have to play with.
Yeah, I think that's right. But that's three swings and misses, right, on the offensive line that, now they're paying for that. But what do you think if they, let's say Bulaga goes, rephrase that. When Bulaga goes down, is it the backup tackle, one of the starting guards, and then someone, one of this Motley crew will be then in the guard position is probably what they're going to do.
Didn't they put Lane Taylor out there last year at tackle, and he did pretty well. But then you have to plug in somebody to play guard. I suppose maybe Lucas Patrick maybe goes in to play guard at that point, or Adam Pankey. That's probably how they do it, but it's not good option. Or Justin McCray goes out and plays tackle, but he's a much better guard than he is a tackle.
Yeah, but can you at least, can you game plan around having a tackle that's not perfect, not as good as Bulaga or Bakhtiari, but could you still kind of get by? But you're right. You're going to have a situation where Rodgers is going to be running around a lot, but he's good at that. It's just you risk injury every time he does that. I just wonder if the offensive line looks so bad because you had every backup out there and you had all the starters for the Raiders. So, I mean, was all lined up to look really, really terrible. So now we're all pulling our hair out because the backup offensive line is so bad. But that's a situation that's not real. That you're never going to have all five guys hurt. You're not going to, and I don't even think they game plan for it very well either. Like, you knew they couldn't block for very long, so why wouldn't you kind of shorten up the game? They probably didn't do that because they want to see the receivers, they want to see the quarterback, right? They didn't even game plan around a really bad offensive line, which you would do, and if you had Rodgers, you'd be much more careful. So I wonder if that's It certainly doesn't look very good. You'd think if you hit on your draft picks that these guys would be functional.
Yeah.
But really what we saw, we shouldn't be so concerned about it.
Well, in light of that, can we take anything away from the performances of Hundley and Kizer? Hundley got the first half. Kizer got the second half. Neither one looked great, but what do you expect, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The only thing there is Kizer, his good plays look better to me than Hundley's good plays, I feel like. I feel like he throws a better ball that he – now, I have to admit, somewhere in the third quarter of this game, I fell asleep, so Kizer didn't get my full attention. But I did see Hundley, and Hundley does not look better to me. I'm reading some articles that say it's slowing down for him a little bit now, and I guess they're saying different things that, you know, he's doing a little bit better. I just don't see it. I don't know if you do either, and I know what you have with Hundley. He beat the Browns and the Bears, so maybe can he get you through a game or two? I don't know. It's so close to call. I just feel like with Hundley, you know, you don't have something there. Kizer might be a little bit interesting and might improve down the road. I don't know. This game by itself, I don't know if there's any takeaways of which one played better. I'm pretty sure they're going to keep Hundley and either going to keep Kizer or cut him and then send Boyle to the practice squad either way. Which I want to talk about that. But do you have a preference over those two right now?
Well, I thought, and maybe I'm mistaken here, but I thought Hundley had a really good pass that was dropped by Lance Kendricks.
Yes.
It should have been a touchdown. It was the only place really where he could have thrown it, and, you know, Kendricks had it in his hands and lost it. And I'm not worried about that. I mean, Kendrick, at this point, to your third string tight end, I'm fine. I mean, he's not a great player, but he's a solid number three. And okay, that's fine. But I thought Hundley, you know, did a good job with that. He can make some throws. He seems more confident, more comfortable than he did last year.
How? Why do you say that?
Because when he rolls out of the pocket, he's looking downfield. He's not looking around where the pressure's coming from. He's looking for guys downfield. He's just more in control than I think he was last season. And with the line they have in front of him, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, that he's comfortable enough and confident enough, you know, that he's going to be able to get out of the pocket and still have his focus downfield. He just, I don't think he's ever going to be starter quality material in the NFL, but at this point I have a lot more confidence in him than Kizer. I still think they're going to carry three, though. So it doesn't really matter who the backup is. I mean, I think they're both going to make the team, and they'll decide who's going to be the backup from week to week when they see them in practice, probably. And then Boyle, you know, he may or may not make it to the practice squad. I think they didn't play him, Dave, because I don't think they wanted to put any more stuff on tape for other teams to see.
Do you think you'd get away with that? To me, that's like almost just as much of a glaring spotlight. I think the best strategy would be to have him go out there and play poorly. Like, tell him to intentionally throw badly. Because hiding him, I would think if I'm a scout, this would just make me all the signals go off. I'd say, look, they're hiding something to this guy. If they cut him, we should take a chance with him. I think it's bad either way.
That may be true, but I actually think the ship has sailed anyway, because the first two games, you could see that the guy has got something there. He needs development, but if he's going to be gone, he's going to be gone anyway by now. So stashing him, I don't think, is really accomplishing anything.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I read, is I heard that there may not be playing him to hide him. I just think that strategy doesn't work. I think, you know, quarterbacks are such a premium, and people scout each other. If you showed up for this game for the Vikings and you realize, you know, they're not playing this guy that I heard decent things about, I think that would be the first thing I'd think. But given the quarterback situation, I think you're right. I think it's going to be Hundley. His first drive was decent. I just don't like, I still feel his pocket awareness is not very good. In a preseason game, when the pocket's collapsing, I feel like there's times when you need to throw it. There's sometimes you just duck and run. And I just feel his decision-making is not very good. And he's not super accurate. I just think some of the plays that Kizer's made that were good looked a lot better than Hundley's best plays, which intrigues me a little bit. But I tell you, I think next year they just got to scrap the whole thing, and either hopefully Boyle sticks around and maybe he's decent, or they go a new direction with the backup, because I think both these guys just aren't very good.
Well, I'm willing to give Kaiser the benefit of the doubt because he's still 22 years old, and he's played 15 games in the NFL. He played at a big-time college program. I'm not ready to cashier him yet. I think this is going to be kind of a redshirt year for him, third string behind Hundley. Hundley will walk next year, and you would hope that after a year in the program that Kaiser would be ready to, you know, be your number two guy. And he'll be, you know, a year older, a year more physically mature. I mean, we're still talking about a kid here, basically. So
that's true.
Yeah, I'm willing to give him, you know, a little time before I say that he can't play.
Yeah, and that is true. It's really tough on for us, and we've done this for years, of criticizing the play of a 21, 22, 23-year-old of, you know, of being no good. And it's such a hard position. That's why I think with Kaiser, his positive plays means he's got the talent. I mean, do you think there's still growth? I don't know how old Hundley is. If he's in his later 20s?
I think he might be 26.
That's young. But we've seen a lot of Hundley. I mean, do you think there's still upside for him?
Yeah, he's actually 25.
Jeez.
But there's upside, but the upside being defined as, you know, can he be a legitimate backup quarterback in the NFL? And, you know, I think the answer is probably, yeah, he probably can do that. I don't see him being a starter, but I think he's a guy that could, you know, come in and mop up a game and maybe start a game or two for you. Because, you know, let's face it, it's the more time, you know, you have in the league, you kind of figure things out enough where you come in and it's not a disaster. And I think that he can probably handle that, but I just don't think he'll ever be good enough where, you know, a team is going to want him to be their starter. He's just not that guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, the article I read today said, you keep Hundley, you just cut Kaiser. It's just not worth a roster spot to have a third not very good quarterback at this point. You need positions, especially if your linebackers have their shoulders mysteriously popping out of its joint. You need other positions, and so you're going to basically cut Kaiser, and the Demarius Randall draft pick is just disappeared. And but you know, the whole idea of sunk cost is you can't look back and say you got to keep Kaiser because we paid a first round pick for him. That's what losers do. You got to move on, I think, and it might be some cost with that. That their thought was you keep Hundley, you cut Kaiser, and you hopefully put Boyle in the practice squad. You think they're going to keep three, though?
Yeah, I really think that they need to. You know, Aaron Rodgers has proven that he's not Superman. I mean, he's had two seasons where he's missed more than half of the season. Who's to say it won't be something else? Maybe it won't be a collarbone this time. You know, maybe he's going to have a significant ankle sprain, you know, where he's going to miss again 6 weeks, something like that. And at that point, you have to have a third quarterback. I'm not sure that Boyle is going to make it to the practice squad, for one thing. And I also think that next year you're going to need a backup quarterback. So that's why I think you keep Kaiser. I think you need the insurance, and you also need somebody next year who's going to be competent as your backup. I mean, quarterback is just too important of a position to not have not just one answer but two answers. I mean, you have to have that. I know they protect these guys a lot more than they used to, but you know, let's say maybe it's a hamstring. You remember in 2007, Dave, when Rodgers had that good game against Dallas, the one we watched at Jimmy's house?
Yeah.
and then the next week in practice he pulled his hamstring. And he wound up missing like 6 weeks. He couldn't practice. Now, I don't know that he's going to do that again, but it's an example of how you don't have to get hit by a guy. I mean, Rodgers likes to tuck the ball and run, and he's going to be 35 years old. And as you know, you get a little older and things don't work as well as they used to. And, you know, let's say he pulls that hamstring, he's going to be out for 3 weeks, you know? So I think you're playing with fire if you only go with two quarterbacks. I saw the article that you're talking about, but I disagree.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see because there's injuries all around this team, but less than usual. Someone was saying how many people were out of practice, and it was like three or four guys.
Right.
And that is actually pretty unusual. But the Packers have been playing it so safe this preseason. I wonder if they're also doing this in practice too to keep these guys healthy.
Yeah.
But I wonder if long run, is that ultimately a good thing? I heard that the Patriots, who don't know, they're not always doing things right, but a Brady played the whole first half, I think in the second preseason game, and I thought, we are really conservative. I mean, I don't know if it's because we've been so snake-bitten by injuries that McCarthy is just not taking any chances with it, but the other side of that is you're not as ready in the first game as you might want to be.
That's right. So. And it, well, what I also think about, too, Dave, is will those guys, I mean, besides being like just, you know, game-ready, assignment sure, all that stuff, their bodies, you know, haven't really been exposed to doing any kind of real football stuff. I mean, when you're blocking and tackling and getting pushed to the ground and all that stuff, you wonder, because they haven't been doing any of that, are they more prone to injury once the game start?
Yeah.
And, I mean, does it make a difference if you get hurt in the third preseason game or you get hurt in the second regular season game? I mean, you're still injured early in the season, and it's gonna goof it up. I mean, do you somehow get bonus points because, yep, we didn't get him injured in the preseason, you know, but we lost him for the season in the second game, you know?
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure that there's a surefire way to manage this situation. It's almost like luck plays a factor. You know?
So much.
So much.
But I could see Rodgers doesn't need to play. Bakhtiari, Bulaga, there's no reason for that. You know, I would say Davante Adams, maybe some of the guys on defense, maybe some defensive line guys, maybe give them a couple of reps and get them out of there, since there's a lot of collapsed knees in that bunch.
Yeah.
But
I
did see Blake Martinez in the first series. I thought he came up limping. I thought, no.
I saw that too. And I was thinking, oh, my God, who's going to play in the middle now? They could put Josh Jones in the middle, or, you know, it's – yeah, that was scary.
Yeah, and then but I thought, why aren't they taking him out? I would think you, at any first indication of injury, you would yank him out of there and play somebody else. I mean, they've already shown they don't care about this game at all. But he stayed in, and I guess he looked. I have not seen him on any injury report. I know some people picked up on it on Twitter, and I thought this is a disaster. This is such a Packers thing to have happen. Is a string of injuries not. In one position, just completely leave you bare in one position. But maybe this is just the fates kind of putting it all together. It says, look, Clay Matthews should be your middle linebacker. You've got some outside linebackers that are playing well. I mean, Gilbert is playing really well, and hopefully Perry comes back. Your best team has Matthews in the middle, which is what they did in 14 when their defense completely turned itself around. It did a ton better. So if you have Blake Martinez and Clay Matthews in the middle – and Gilbert and I guess you'd have Perry.
Probably Nick Perry, yeah. But we haven't seen him play. I mean, and he's always hurt anyway. So, you know, if he is going to play there, he's not going to play long.
Well, who else do they have outside? I guess you got Beagle and Fackrell, right?
Yeah,
those are your two.
I really don't know if you're going to. I don't think Beagle's going to make this team. He just.
Yeah.
I know he played better. He made actually one pretty darn good tackle. But he's not a difference maker. I guess so. If you look at the depth chart, they don't really have a lot else outside. What they've got, Chris Odom, I guess, were high on last year. But it's pretty thin. And you know, something's going to happen to Nick Perry. I mean, it always does. He's going to tease you. He's going to use that bull rush. He's going to get in the backfield. He's going to play well a couple of games, and then he's going to break his hand again or some other kind of weird thing like that. And I know he plays hurt. And, you know, he's a worry and all that kind of stuff. But the guy is hurt a lot. So you can't count on him. And do you really want Kyler Fackrell? I mean, maybe that's why they picked up Antonio Morrison. You know, maybe this is a guy that can, you know, give him a little more assurance on the outside. All I can say is that they are a better team with Clay Matthews in the middle. There's no doubting that. But that weakens the outside. So, you know.
Yeah, but well, what do you think about Gilbert? Are you ready to transition him from Mr. August to Mr. September, October, November?
Yeah, he played well again, and I want to believe. Oh, Dave, I want to believe. Help me to believe, Dave.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've seen too many guys that, you know, splash in August, and you know when it's for real, when teams are game planning and the starters are out there for four quarters. They kind of go away. I mean, they're, you know, you see him getting blocked, and you see him, you know, maybe make getting a little pressure, but he's not really doing much, you know.
Yeah.
And Gilbert does seem different this year. There's no questioning that, but I just don't know how it's going to translate, because other teams aren't playing their guys, and when they do play them, they don't play them long, and they're not game planning. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I still think he's Mr. August. I was so sure about Desmond Bishop, and Bishop, and the Bishop delivered, you know. But I somehow, there was something about him that is different than Gilbert. Maybe it's because they play different positions, you know, because Bishop played inside and Gilbert plays outside, and I've seen maybe too many outside guys that can run around, you know, the second or third string tackle. But Gilbert was playing against, you know, better competition this time, and I think he had a strip sack, right, as I recall, in this game. So maybe I'm wrong here, and I really want to like this guy. I just want to see it when it matters.
He looks the part. He looks fast. He looks strong. Yep. He bull rushed, you know, a couple times. Even on that bomb that they completed on Jair Alexander, they showed someone had a snapshot of Gilbert just about to hit the quarterback right before that play.
Yeah,
so
right.
It seems like he is pretty consistently being disruptive, and he's got a few moves. And you know, he did play at the end of last year when the lights were on, and actually I thought played pretty decent. Because I remember people feeling like, why hasn't he been on the team all year? So I think I'm going to be a believer for now. We have to be, because he's basically one step away from being a starter.
Well, he might be. If they move Clay inside, I think he might be a starter.
Yeah. And, you know, is he the key guy in the line? I mean, they're going to have a bunch of people in the defensive line in the middle that are, I think, are talented. So Lions are going to be focused on them.
Kenny Clark's the man. Kenny Clark.
He is,
I'm liking that guy. And and Mike Daniels, is he as good as he was? Maybe not, but he's solid too. And Wilkerson's showing a little bit. Dean Lowry's not bad. Montrevious Adams, I don't think he's a stiff. He's okay. They've got a lot of depth in that defensive line, and maybe that'll compensate for some of the problems they have at linebacker.
Yeah. I hope that's true. So the defense can be better than last year. I really think that's true. A big part of it, though, I think, is their corners. We talked last week about the safeties, how I didn't see anything big from the safeties. I did see Ha-Ha Clinton Dix take a bad tackling angle again. That's his regular thing.
I know what, but he also made a good open field tackle, too.
He did. He had one good play. But I am very excited about Josh Jackson and Alexander. Both those guys look really good to me. Not just because, you know, they made interceptions. One didn't count, but, I mean, it was a great play. Just look faster on the field to me. It feels like it's not a typical cornerback that's always trailing your guy by a yard or two. It's like these guys are on the hips of their receivers and making good plays. I thought the one play that jumped out at me, I don't know if you saw this. The play didn't go to this receiver, but the Raider receiver kind of did like a wide receiver was lined up on the inside, and he kind of cut toward the sideline. And Alexander, like, ran from his spot and, like, just like a bullet went and covered him. And the quarterback that kind of was looking that direction then had to go elsewhere. And I just felt like he was faster, more sure. Maybe he was out of position. Who knows? But it looked the part to me. I just feel like those two guys are going to really upgrade and give kind of new life to the defensive backfield that could really change the complexion of this team.
You know, I got to say that Alexander, that interception he made when he cut in front of the receiver, extended himself and snatched the ball out of the air, all hands, that was electrifying. I actually think Randall had one of those last year, if I'm not mistaken, during the regular season. And I think that they are – I am ready to say that this is as deep as they've been at corner probably since, 2010, you know?
Yeah.
And I
2010.
I'm,
well, okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited about what they have at corner. And Alexander is if King can play. Now King, of course, now has a right shoulder issue to go along with his bad left shoulder. But you know, he's a good player. I think, you know, Williams can still play. I think Devon House, you know, if he's your fifth corner, you're in really good shape.
Yeah. Is he the fifth? Yeah, Williams, you got Jackson, Alexander, King, Yeah, I guess who else? I guess he would be your. I know he. You got Josh Hawkins still, Herb Waters. Those are probably guys that are on the bubble.
I think Herb Waters is. This game probably did him in because he's the guy who had the penalty.
Yeah.
On the pick six on the Jackson pick six.
But you know, speaking of penalties, that is one reason why this game was unwatchable was the number of penalties.
24 penalties, is that right? Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. One guy got called for holding and a chop block on the same play. Is that possible to do? I saw the replay and it looked like it was a lineman just fell. And then two different refs threw flags at it, one for holding, one for chop block. It feels like the NFL is sending the message to clean stuff up, whether it's scrum at the line of scrimmage, we want to get people to be able to be standing at the end of each play, or if there's a hard hit, they're throwing flags, even if it's technically legal, if it's a hard hit, they're throwing flags and that stuff. It feels like they are just, the number of flags are up a lot. Maybe it's preseason is the reason for that. But makes the games really tough to watch when it's a penalty on every single play.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I also think, I thought this for a couple of years, and we've talked about it, that replay is in lots of ways making sports more difficult as a viewing experience. I know everybody wants it because they want the plays to be called right. But when you have that, it ruins the flow of the game. So the more penalties you have, the more contested plays that you have, it's a choppy experience, and especially when the referees aren't positive themselves what they're calling, because the rules are more and more judgmental and ambiguous. So that means they're erring on the side of caution, and then you read articles in the paper the following week that of the 14 penalties for leaning with the head, 11 of them weren't
Yeah, right.
And instead, though, you're stopping the game, and they confer, and they call the penalty on that, and then there's replay, and this it's just I don't know. It's a good intent to want to get the calls right, and this is true in Major League Baseball now too. You want to get the calls right, but it's really hard, even on TV. But if you're in the stadium when they're doing replay, I mean, that's rough. It's really hard to enjoy the game when there's not any sense of fluidness that goes along with it. I'm not sure what the answer is because, you want players to be safe. You want the games called right. But on the other hand, you want to be able to have a good entertainment experience too, because that's kind of the whole point of the thing. So yeah, it's this game was unwatchable for a lot of reasons. Maybe if the starters had played, the 24 penalties would have been ugly, but it would have been more watchable because the regular guys would have been out there. But the combination just made it brutal,
really bad. Hey, here's an answer for you. What if in the future they you play the games, but then you show it on TV an hour delayed? And you do kind of what they do on the NFL.com where they show the abbreviated games. But instead of just going from snap to snap, you cut off all the discussion parts. You can still have commercials, but, whenever there's a penalty, they can kind of cut out that video and then go right to the call and then get right to the huddle. But, cut some of that stuff out. So at least from a TV perspective, you can make it a little bit, take that out. So you can have as many penalties as you want, but the flow still goes. Do you think people would watch that? But because I wonder at the game, it would just take, if you're live, it would just be as long as it would be. But that would be a way of making all that kind of come together. You think they'd ever do something like that?
Well, I hope so. I mean, they're going to have to figure out a way to make the game experience on television better. Because, let me put it this way in the metaphor that we always use on this podcast. The NFL is a TV show, okay? It's a 16-week installment, right? We always talk about that week to week. It's the best reality show on TV. Yeah. And the people who come to the games are just extras. I mean, they're just there to provide an ambiance for the TV viewer because that's where the real money is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the ticket sales, I mean, they want all that stuff. But really what it comes down to is having a lot of viewers watching on TV, and the networks pay billions of dollars to the NFL to show these games. And viewership has been down, and it's not because of the national anthem stuff, regardless of what Trump says. I think it's a lot more to do with things like, the choppiness of the game, the ambiguous nature of the rules, all that kind of stuff is much more involved with the decline in ratings than any of the political nonsense that goes on. So I think they're going to have to do something just to package the entertainment product better than what it has been last year. And I know it's only preseason, but if this is a glimpse of what is going to look like when we start playing for real in a couple of weeks, NFL is going to have some problems.
Yeah, I mean, you could, if you delayed it, and then you could get some cool editing stuff going on, like the big plays, you could have the replays set up right there, get the best angle, and you know, you can have the colors where you track the ball, or you know, you track the routes they run on the ground. You could do all that stuff if you can edit it really quickly. Now, you couldn't delay it too long, and obviously everyone would know the score if you pay attention, right, like on the right. radio or online.
Exactly.
Yep. People would tweet out, you know, the scores. So you'd have to discipline yourself if you want to be surprised by it. Like, I'm just going to watch the game. I'm not going to pay attention to Twitter. But I wonder if that would make it a more enjoyable experience. It just think baseball. Man, baseball, you could do that and chop these things down to like an hour, right? You could really
Baseball
easily, a lot more interesting. I should probably think about that. Anyway, but hopefully this is just a sign of the preseason, that the regular season, some of those flags stay in their pockets, because I'm not there to watch the refs. That's not fun to watch. You know, I'm one of those people that say, look, on defensive pass interference, I'd let them mess around a little bit, because I don't care about that. I don't care how technical it is. You know, if he's open, he catches. If he's not, and he got, like, just let him play. I don't know. It's a bad sign so far, but we'll see how the season goes.
Well, I know that we're a little strapped for time this week because you've got a commitment.
I do.
So, yes. So I want to go to one question before we go to some email that we received this past week. As you think, now this is putting you on the spot here, so, you know, bear with me here.
All right.
As you think about the roster, and next week we'll talk about who we think is going to, you know, wind up on the final roster. Who do you think, it can be more than one guy, will be a surprise keep and a surprise cut? Do you have any candidates for that? And I already gave you my surprise cut. I think Vince Beagle might be that surprise cut. So as a surprise keep, by the way, let me back up for a second as you think about this. Last week I was thinking the surprise cut might be Jamon Moore. But he played well enough this past week that I'm starting to think they're probably going to keep all three of those rookies, at least based on the last week's game. He still, I think, has problems. I think he cut one of his routes off short in this past week. But he was better and probably showed enough as a fourth-round pick that they'll probably keep him. So now I've kind of gone to my surprise cut being Beagle. My surprise keep, and I don't know if he really is a surprise because so many people have talked about him, but, you know, Jake Kummerow, is it Kummerow or Kummerow? I'm not sure.
I don't know. You'll come around.
Yeah. It's very good. Yeah,
it's, I thought it was Kummerow. No?
Well, it's spelled R-O-W Kummerow? At the end.
Maybe it's not a roo. I like Kummerow.
Kummerow. Well, that actually sounds Australian.
Yeah,
Australian.
It does,
Okay, yeah. But I kind of think that he's going to want to keep in him, and that's gonna you know, maybe require somebody else to be cut somewhere else. So that's kind of my feelings, that guys who you know, are on the bubble, who's going to maybe make it and who's not going to make it. Do you have anybody that you think might be a surprise cut or maybe a surprise keep based on what you've seen so far?
I do have one. I was going to say Hundley as the surprise cut, but I don't think they're going to go that route, so I'm not going to put my money on that one. I think the Packers do the boring thing. They'll keep Hundley and cut Boyle or try and get him to the practice squad. I think what they will do, and this isn't just because he dropped the ball, I just think that they have some interesting younger guys that they may want to go with. I think they're going to cut Lance Kendricks.
That would be a surprise cut. Yep.
I think cut and keep one of the younger guys. There's Bird was one. He had a couple of catches, but then the guy they had last week, the Tanyan, who didn't have a catch.
Right.
But I could see. I guess it'd be between Kendricks and Mercedes Lewis, and I think they like. I would like to see Mercedes Lewis, because if you need a blocking tight end, apparently he's fantastic.
Right.
So where Kendricks is kind of a tweener, he's not as good of a catcher as Graham. He's not as good as a blocker as Lewis. So he's sort of in that middle spot. But I wonder if they like that Tanyan enough to keep him. So, you know, looking across, I did see something that showed position by position, kind of the no-brainers, the bubble guys, and the guys that are out.
Yeah.
It's actually not that difficult to figure out who's going to get cut. I mean, there's only a very few hard decisions that the Packers have right now. There's guys we've all heard of, there's draft picks, and then there's people you've never heard of, and those are the ones that are probably going to get cut. So, but I think Kendricks is, I thought of that about that. The tight end is a little bit of a crowded group. I think that's someone that could make the team as one of these younger guys that they like a lot at tight end.
Well, in the interest of time, because we're getting close here to what our deadline is, we got an email this week, asking about the betting lines. And yes, we are going to do them once the regular season starts up again. So we want to, you know, assure people that, yeah, that's a popular thing, that we will do it. And I don't know about you, Dave, when I think of betting lines, I think of Tom Freeman. You know?
Yes, I do too.
He and his wife religiously play every week, you know, from California, San Luis Obispo, I think it is, maybe something like that. And anyway, we also got an email this week from Tom to welcome us back. And I don't know if you saw this one, Dave, but he thanked you for mentioning three identical strangers.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he had kind of a personal story that went along with that, too.
That's right.
So,
right. I couldn't quite figure out if he saw it based on my recommendation or just was sharing the fact that he saw it as well. But, yeah, see, every once in a while, sometimes we get criticized for watching too much TV, not having good taste, but every once in a while we come through with a good one, right?
I think
that's what we're paid to do.
You know, every week I pull for Judy Freeman winning.
Yeah, really?
Every single week, yeah. She is my favorite.
Well, that's usually people keep that quiet, but that's bold of you to throw that out there.
The
Tom versus Judy debate will go on and on. But so you're on the team Judy.
Well, I worry a bit about the Freemans, because I'm wondering what kind of friction that causes. I know they've married a long time. I'm just worried about the friction that it causes in their marriage. But hopefully they can get counseling, you know, during those 4.5 months of the football season.
Yeah. It's our fault. If something happens, it's our fault. But
it's always our fault.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll be team Tom. You can be team Judy. We'll track their success through the season, and along with everybody else. We renovated the hotel casino again this year, this offseason. It's better than ever.
Well, it's because of all the money that we get when people give us money at PayPal. We've been able to plow those dollars back into much-needed renovations. For one thing, just the disinfecting of the presidential suite by itself, it's not a cheap operation. Both the Vegas, the Laughlin, and the Lake Tahoe properties renovated in the off season. So this should be a wonderful experience for all of the betting line winners again this year. You know, we had an international piece of correspondence coming in from our man Tom in Germany, who was cheating on us by writing from Wisconsin. I believe he spent some time in Franklin, I believe it was. And so Tom from Germany, actually writing from Wisconsin, he felt like he had a celebrity call out. So he's going to be really excited that we're actually reading his email here. But one of the things he mentioned in his email to us, and I know how he's working here. I see you working here, Tom, because you know I'm going to mention your Airbnb, that you bought this place in Wisconsin. You only use it a couple of months a year. And I don't know if you looked at the pictures, Dave.
I did. It's beautiful.
It is fantastic. So I'll tell you what, Packers Therapy listeners, if you are looking for an Airbnb in southeastern Wisconsin, if you contact us at PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, we can hook you up with Tom in Germany to work out your accommodations, your Airbnb accommodations in southeastern Wisconsin. He goes, look, I know what you're doing here, Tom. He writes an email to us saying, I automated it with a deadbolt, smart deadbolt, thermostat, smoke detectors, water sensors, and water shutoff valve. It's pretty cool. Cool. Curious? Check it out here. Yeah, he knew I was going to read that, and I did. So actually, though, I got to tell you, this thing looks fantastic. Well, It's not as good as where you will be staying when you're in Stevens Point here in a few months, but yes, still nice.
That's so yeah, that game is moving forward. It's the December 2nd game. If anyone is going to be at that game, let us know. But maybe what we could do is for runners up for the betting lines, they can stay at Tom's place free of charge. Tom will comp the whole thing.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that
yeah.
a good idea? So
yeah,
if you win, you're going to Vegas. You're going to Reno, whatever. But if you're second place, free place at Franklin. That's a good idea, no?
I think that's good, and I think Tom is probably nodding. Yes, he yeah. likes that idea.
Enthusiastic,
I'm
sure
that, yeah. I am positive that he thinks it's a fantastic idea. We also got an email, like we so often do, from Detective Sergeant Inspector Andy Mundy, who got off his mail truck for a long enough time. To write to us. First paragraph is about how great our program is. So, of course, I'm going to read this, Andy. He says, you don't rush through the show, nor does it drag on.
Well, is that right?
A, we are rushing this week, okay? And B, yeah, I think I'm afraid sometimes it drags on a little bit.
So, that's our theme. That's our whole shtick. It's dragging on.
But it was nice of you to say, Andy. We do appreciate that. Andy says he likes Lance Kendricks, but he wonders if the Packers are getting as much out of him as the third tight end as his salary is costing them. And I think that's kind of what you were saying too, Dave.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about the salary, but yeah, I think that's a possibility.
So Andy, we think you might have a point there that Lance Kendricks might be in trouble. He might be sent packing. Be too bad. He's a Wisconsin Badger and a guy from Milwaukee, but you know, I think that's going to be one cut to watch as we go forward. Also got email this week from our man Chuck P. Surprisingly, it says it's sent from his iPhone. Yeah. So I suppose if you're one of the inventors of the iPhone, you probably have one, and he does, and he just wanted to let me know he was on family business. I think he attended UW La Crosse, and so he's from the state, and he was driving up through central Wisconsin. He decided to pick out his iPhone. I hopefully wasn't driving while he sent me this, to say, hey, I'm going through Plover, can't see you this time, but hope we can do it sometime in the future. And he saw a sign that said, Beer and Bacon Fest, and apparently that was just north of Plover here. Actually, just north of Plover is a town called Stevens Point. But I guess a Beer and Bacon Fest, and he wanted to know if he was in heaven, and I wrote back and said, no, you're just in central Wisconsin. Yes, the land of heart disease. Is it any wonder that Aspirus is one of the finest cardiac units in the Midwest? They have a lot of practice. No question about
that. Well, not only that, I look. There's a list of the top drunkest cities in the United States.
Absolutely, yep.
The seven of the top 10 are in Wisconsin. Yep. I think Green Bay was number. Do we talk about is number one?
Yep.
I think Madison and Appleton. I mean, they're all on. It's all on there.
It's in there, yeah. Yeah. It's you know, but it's a Wisconsin paradox, though. It's one of the highest in alcoholism and obesity, but also one of the highest in longevity. And that's an actual thing, the Wisconsin paradox, because you know, you're high on those two factors, but you're also high on the longevity. So, you know, it's hard to say. Maybe because you party and have a good time, it reduces stress, and, you know, I don't know.
I think the cold preserves your body longer, probably. It's...
Well, all I know is the cold ain't fun. Well, you know that. It's no fun.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's no it's not like the heat in St. Louis is much more fun. But
boy, that's lethal down there. I mean, yeah. That's just – I mean, that's literally lethal for a lot of people. The humidity is just terrible, you know. But the arch never rusts, though.
The arch stands strong through all heat, rain, snow. You're right. The arch
is absolutely – it's amazing. It is.
It's a great testament to those people who got halfway through the United States and said, I'm stopping right here. I'm not going any further.
In fact, I think I'll build an arch as long as I'm here.
That's right.
We'll make it out of stainless steel.
Hey, yeah. I've got some quick hitters. Can I just do some quick hitters?
Would you do some quick hitters and then any pop culture? So go, Dave.
All right. So first, we almost got through a podcast without mentioning J.K. Scott.
Just kidding.
Yeah. He hit – punted the ball much better. I think we thought he would get out of Green Bay and kind of get away from the pressure. And I guess what they're trying to speed up his kick, which it does look like he's a little bit slower than other kickers.
He does, yeah.
Doesn't he? I thought when I saw the college, I thought he was one step bang, and it was really quick. But he looks a little bit slower to me. Maybe they're just changing something and it's making everything slow, but he can punt. I think, rest assured, I think the guy can punt. Any thoughts on Scott?
Yeah, I have the same concerns about his, as they say, his get-off time. And insert your own joke here. So I'm a little troubled by that. I'm wondering what it's going to be like in the regular season when people see film on that. Are they going to exploit that? But at the same time, this is a guy that really can get the ball up in the air. There were, you know, routinely 4.8 seconds of hang time. I have a good feeling about his ability to kick, from his side of the field. I'm less confident, though, when it comes to the directional kicking and the pooch punting and all that kind of stuff. That, I think, is kind of an acquired skill. I'm not sold on that yet. But in terms of being able to reverse field position, I think this is a guy that's going to be able to help him.
Yeah, and he's only 15 years old. So he's got lots of time ahead of him.
He looks like a child.
He does look young, yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones. I was glad to see Aaron Jones back in the field. He did have a lot of kind of space to run. But what he does do, he seems like he gets two more yards more than what other backs do. It's like he's always kind of lunging forward. I like the way he picks his holes. And I'm excited. I want Aaron Jones to be my starting running back. Jamal Williams, I think, would be fine. We can win games with Jamal Williams. But I'm a big fan of Aaron Jones. He's just more intriguing than the other guys. And even just his 2-3 yard runs just seem like he's more talented than everybody else. So I was happy to see Aaron Jones back.
Well, Dr. Klaus advises his patients not to pick their holes. But for Aaron Jones, it does work well. He will miss a couple games, though, to start the season. But I do think that they have a solid stable of running backs, as they like to say. And I'm not concerned that there's been injury. I know Devontae Mays has been hurt and Jamal Williams. I'm not really concerned that they have a bunch of guys off the street right now, because I think when Jones comes back, I think he'll probably spend 2 weeks picking his holes, I would imagine.
I don't know anything you said after you said that. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. That's why the good doctor's coming to visit to find out exactly what's wrong with me. Yeah.
I don't see. Now I'm going to be overly concerned about everything I say. You're going to pick apart everything I said.
Well, you're darn right. I've been doing that for 14 years, Dave, so why not? Why should I stop now, right?
The last one I have is, it was Joanne Moore. We talked about him.
Yes.
But I thought Allison played, his play makes me feel comfortable as he's the third receiver. That's good enough for me with Allison for now. But Jamon Moore, even though he had some good catches, I'm worried that he's going to be kind of one of those coach killer guys that's going to have a really good play and then drop a third down that's so critical. Like, what do you do with a guy like what do you do?
How do you solve a problem like Jamon Moore? Yes. How do you solve a problem like Jamon Moore? Yeah.
I've lost it. I'm close to my heart stop anyway. Oh, goodness. The only thing I have for pop culture is a show that I would not recommend because it's so dark that it's really no fun, and I don't know why I'm watching it. I'm watching Sharp Objects.
Oh, yes. I'm watching that, too.
On HBO. I can't imagine anything more depressing and awful than that show. It's everything about it. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just so bad. But I want to know who the killer is, so I'm still watching it.
Yeah, I am, too. I'm one behind, and the finale is tonight. We're recording this on a Sunday. I'm glad I've watched it. There's some good performances in it. But there's not a lot to recommend it, and I'm also not a big Chris Messina guy. I've seen him in a lot of stuff, and I don't know what it is about him. He's very punchable to me. I don't know what the deal is with that guy.
Who is he? Is he the cop?
Yeah.
The FBI
guy?
Okay.
He's not FBI. He's the detective from Kansas City.
Oh, the case. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm mixing my shows up. Yeah.
So. I know. Although, but Patricia Clarkson is terrific as the mom, as Adora.
Oh, yeah. She's wonderfully awful. And I have never seen a show pick the adult and the kid actor who combined that is closer in what they look like. I mean, there are times when they have Amy Adams and then whatever the girl's name that plays her as a teenager, a young teenager. They look exactly the same. They're identical. It's like they've gone in the time machine and found Amy Adams from her past. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's really good casting, and there's a lot to like about the show. But it is kind of tough to take. There's no doubt about it. But it's worth checking out and seeing. I mean, some people like that. What we've been watching is a Netflix show called I Am a Killer. And it's about these guys who are on death row, and each episode is about a different, you know, guy, and he tells his story, then, you know, the other side, the family of the victim, you know, tells their story, and, you know, it becomes very three-dimensional, and there's some surprising things that happen along the way, and it's gripping.
Dark?
It is. It's dark. It's also true, but it is, it's really, if you like true crime type stuff, and that's not for everybody, but I recommend it strongly. I Am a Killer, and it's on Netflix.
Nice.
Well, all right. So you have got to go. So we're going to wrap up this podcast. And boy, how long has it been since we've been a podcast that's like just an hour?
Yeah,
it's
been
a
long time. We haven't been dragging on or carrying
Like Detective Sergeant Monday. Yeah,
he's going to be very upset about this show. That's right.
Well, I know, because he's like only going to get half his route done, probably. So anyway, the game was a dud, but it did give us something to talk about. One more practice game to go, and then we start things for real. I think we're all ready for that. I know the Packers are ready for it. Coaching staff, we are certainly ready for that to happen. So anyway, Packers will wrap it up this week on Thursday night. A week or so from now, we will be back to talk about it. But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.